Welcome to a weekly look at all things high school sports around the South Plains. Powered by the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. Here's the Lone Star Varsity Podcast.
And hello, everyone. I'm Carlos Silva, the sports editor of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, bringing you another edition of the Lone Star Varsity Podcast, where we talk high school athletics with our high school sports reporter, Alexis Cubitt, who was at a volleyball match tonight on Tuesday. And it'll probably be our most up-to-date podcast that we've had so far, Alexis, since it's about midnight here in the old podcast room. But I guess starting off, I mean, we'll talk a little bit of high school football, obviously, because that's what everyone kind of wants to chat about. But you were obviously at a volleyball match where you had some two good teams, Trinity Christian being the team that we were covering in the match against Midland Trinity. But we'll talk some high school, talk a little bit of volleyball since you were at one, and just kind of some district standings and stuff. And then, of course, don't forget that second portion where we talk to a head coach of a winning team from last week, hoping to get John Cornelius on the phone. Obviously, it's a little bit late, so we'll probably get to him on Wednesday. So this hopefully will either publish on Wednesday night or Thursday morning. So apologize for that, but had a little bit of trouble doing that. But speaking of people that didn't have trouble, Trinity Christian, certainly a good volleyball team. And you obviously got to see Madeline Cox and Brooke Cox tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, both girls were major contributors. Brooke Cox, led in kills, I believe it was 13, and then Madeline Cox had a few kills there and just kind of gave that energy that they needed. Just a fun team. You can tell that they have a lot of fun. I mean, they're out there, you know, laughing and dancing and, you know, getting wins. They got the sweep over Midland Trinity, which they had already swept Midland Trinity 2 weeks ago, and so that was a series sweep of sweeps. So that obviously will bode well for them. It looks like they'll have a good chance to win their district. They'll go to Lubbock Christian on Saturday, and they've already beaten Lubbock Christian, and so they're trucking along. I think the good thing is you have a lot of experience back from that 2017 state championship team. They remember that. They know what it takes to get there, and so, you know, they're just looking really good right now.
I think the other thing, along with looking good, I think the biggest thing is I think Coach Tyler Neal finally got them kind of playing on the same page. I know it seems kind of weird this late in the season, but I think for volleyball, sometimes the matches kind of wear on you a little bit. But I think now that the playoff push has started, you're obviously kind of vying for that seating at this point. And I think Trinity Christian, as you kind of mentioned, you got a couple of girls in Brooke Cox and I'm trying to remember it's not Madeline Cox. It's
Maddie Grace Ritchie.
The two Cox sisters. I'm trying to remember the two right now.
Madeline and Brooke. Well, they're not sisters, but
oh, that's right, Madeline and Brooke. I apologize. They're not related. Sorry, it's a little bit late, everyone. But in terms of those two, they obviously have that experience going to state. They're going to have that urgency kind of pushing the rest of their teammates for that. And, of course, that is obviously shown by their district record. The overall record looks a little bit odd just because of the two ties, but a winning record nonetheless overall. And then, of course, an undefeated district mark. Other teams that really did some work today, Friendship, a team that we've talked about, done so well. Gracie Harrison with a double-double. Kaiten Gennebacher had a double-double as well, so they're still in first place, so congrats to them. And then, of course, the Lady Plainsmen at Monterey getting a victory tonight as well, making sure that they've at least ensured themselves a third-place spot in District 3-5A. So certainly some big matches there, but I think everyone kind of wants to talk a little bit of football. Last week, I guess, what were some of the impressions you took away?
Last week was kind of interesting. I think the biggest thing was Estacado still being undefeated.
Yep.
I was at the Lubbock Cooper game against Plainview. They won that one 59-0. So
yep.
Obviously a good – they honestly needed that kind of a push, especially going to Wichita Falls Rider this week and just knowing the what happened last year of them beating him in the regular season but then losing in the postseason. It's not forgotten. They still remember that. That was one of the things. Borden County – as I wrote about in my column, they're still undefeated. They had the 54-8 win over O'Donnell, which, interestingly enough, I thought it was kind of cool. I was talking to Coach Ritchie on Monday. He actually coached O'Donnell's coach, Coach Baeza.
Yep.
That was one of his players. And then he actually coached with them, the two together. And so then they coached against each other. So it was a little bittersweet for Coach Ritchie, obviously, being one of his former players and coaches. But they got the win nonetheless. And, so that was one of them. I think another one, even though Friendship did lose to Midland Lee, I think the fact that they were able to kind of keep up with them was a good sign for at least half. And then you have Coronado losing on that last second field goal.
That was a tough one for them. I mean, they battled. Certainly, they haven't lost that fight, that passion that Coach Parr has talked about. So that's something to at least kind of take as a positive as we kind of eventually look into this weekend's games. They'll obviously be playing Monterey. We'll talk a little bit about that. There's no Thursday games, which is kind of an interesting deal. We're so used to having a Thursday game and then Friday stuff. But Friday's filled with some really good games. But just kind of going back to last week, I know obviously a tough one for Seth Parr and company, but I really think that there's something going here. Obviously, the end of district is getting there, so a little bit of urgency for a lot of teams, especially with Coronado and Monterey. That one should be interesting. But anything else you took away from last week in terms of some of those results as well?
I think that was the biggest thing, just those games. And then, you know, coming into this week, Abernathy had actually a big win over Stanton there to start district play.
Not shocking.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of no-brainer. But then you had New Deal there beating Olton, you know, so that just kind of shows that, you know, again, New Deal is New Deal. They are who they are and have a good chance of getting back to district. But like I said before, winning the district championship. But that district, I don't know, that's always one that just kind of like sticks out to me just because of how well Post is doing right now.
Yep.
I mean, they're still one of, I think, eight teams in our coverage area that are still undefeated. They got a big win on Friday also. So I honestly think at this point now, just kind of seeing how everything pans out, it'll be Floyd Ada, Hale Center, and Olton all fighting for that fourth spot. I think Sundown, New Deal, and Post have kind of secured their spots there. So, yeah, that's kind of my biggest takeaways from that first week. Obviously now, I think there's only a couple teams that haven't started district just yet, but for the most part, everybody's kind of getting into it. And like you mentioned, obviously that Coronado-Monterey game will be a big one coming up.
So talking about this Friday's games as we kind of transition from last week to this week, we have Coronado-Monterey, two teams that are desperate for a district win, and not only that, but just desperate for a win in general, just to obviously kind of change the mentality, just kind of maybe get that little bit of extra kind of shot in the arm, so to speak. Monterey getting a bye week, so that's kind of big for them, to where they didn't necessarily have to play. Maybe depending who you talk to, was it a good time for a bye, a bad time for a bye? It doesn't matter. The thing is they had a bye. They are now fired up, ready to play Coronado, an in-town rival. And not only that, but then Coronado, obviously, playing at a high level at this point. So you have to at least like the fact that Coronado's coming into this one. Even though they are coming off a loss, it feels like the offense is starting to get things going. Sawyer Robertson is kind of getting things going because now the offensive line is working a little bit better for him. He's able to get some time in the pocket, throw the ball a little bit to some of his playmakers. And it seems like the running game is going as well with Caleb Manuel.
Yeah, I think they're still working to get that. But I think the biggest thing with Coronado, just from talking to Coach Parr, is just not necessarily the offense, but getting the defense, you know, and those young guys kind of getting going, figuring out what they need to do, just getting down the mechanics of being a defensive player. And once they get that, I think they'll be fine. But obviously struggled against the run.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's obviously a point of emphasis. But they'll get their experience with Trenton White. We're on D. Lacey watch at this point.
Yeah.
I want to say it was a month ago.
Yeah, about three
Coach
to four
Hutch
games.
Said, yeah, he'd be out for about two to 6 weeks. So he could be back any game now, you know. But like I said, Trent White is doing well at holding down that position. And then Corion has no problems taking off and running. So when you have that dual threat quarterback, it kind of helps to make up there. And I mean, they've got the depth. I think the biggest thing right now is just from talking to Coach Hutch is just that repetition and looking at what needs to be fixed and making those fixes. Obviously, you know, both teams are coming in, you know, feeling like they have to win, which they do.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about football that's unique, obviously, than other sports is you don't get two times to play a team. You know, you have to win right then. And so I think that's something that obviously is on their mind. I think Monterey is maybe a little more, maybe I don't want to use the word panic, but just a little more have that urgency because they have lost four straight games. You know, it's only been two for Coronado, and I know losing sucks no matter what, but, you know, it's, I guess, at that point where, you know, they're all coming in and they're really wanting that win.
In terms of teams that are looking for a win, obviously not the way they wanted it to happen, but Friendship coming back home to People's Bank Stadium, That's going to be one where they're not necessarily playing the same Midland team, but they're going to be playing a team from Midland again, Midland High. They're hosting going into this one. I think it's going to be good for the Tigers to get back home, just kind of get that winning feeling back again, because Donovan Smith has been everything that everyone has been talking about. He's a dynamic player. The rest of the offense is working well. Drew Hokut has kind of stepped up. And you've also seen some of the other defensive players step in as well. Didn't see it last week where obviously they kind of gave up a lot of points in that one. But I think the one thing that you have to like is the offense is at least on par, because last year the offense was kind of sputtering a little bit. And you saw that because the defense would kind of make some mistakes, or they wouldn't be able to hold the opposing offense to maybe under 20, 25 points. Here, you kind of feel okay if you kind of give up 20 points. You know the offense can score more than that.
Yeah, and I think last year there it seemed like there was a lot of, just from trying to get a feel of things, a lot of different things going on, different injuries and stuff that kind of affected them. Just not such great luck, maybe, I guess you could say. But I think this year, obviously, it seems like they hit a stroke of good luck.
Yeah.
So, you know, just take what the game gives you. But, I mean, I think the defense is definitely coming along. Jake Gilbert had that fumble return, so you know, you have little pieces here or there, but it's just a matter of kind of putting everything together. But I think they'll be able to get that win against Midland High this week. I have them going to the playoffs this year. I know it sounds a little reactionary, but, I mean, just from everything that's happened, you know, I mean, you don't like to lose, but I don't think that the Midland League was a bad loss. I mean, you have, what, six teams that can now say they've even beat my Midland League, so friendship's in good company. But, you know, like I said, of course they're not going to see it that way because they want to win. But, you know, like I said, I think they'll rebound and do just fine this week.
Obviously some other good games too. Anything else kind of stand out to you? I know those are the two, at least for me. You got the in-town rivalry between those two. Mm-hmm. You're obviously going to be at the friendship game at People's Bank Stadium. Anything else that kind of stood out to you? I know the one that I was looking at that we wanted to get to, but obviously there's just sometimes too many games for us. Rawls at Smyre. Rawls is right. Rolling Smyre. Rolling as well a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see if Smyre's defense is able to slow down Abraham Van Gundy and some of those other guys, Jerry Flores. We spoke into Coach Javier Rangel, and he's just very impressed with the kind of buy-in from all the guys. Obviously, they know what success tastes like. They had 9 wins last year, but the new goal now is to get a deep playoff run. And to do that, you have to win that first one, and that's what Javier Rangel feels like his team needs to figure out is, can you get off to that quick start, which they've done, obviously, to start their district run. But the thing is can you do it once it's win or go home? And I think that's one thing that I don't know how you kind of teach that, but I think certainly if you roll through district and you feel good about yourselves going into the playoffs, that's going to certainly be a huge help.
Yeah, and I think they should be able to get the win against Smyre, but I think it might be a little closer than, you know, than maybe the records indicate, which, I mean, under a new coach with Scott Funky there at Smyre, I think they're actually having a good season. I believe their record is 4-2 right now. So, yeah, I don't think Smyre is somebody that Rawls is going to run over. I've been wrong before. But, you know, they have Ethan Ramirez there playing quarterback, who I believe is leading in rushing and passing with 14 tackles on the season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have two quality opponents. And like you said, we would have loved to have gotten out there, but the schedule just works how it works. And, you know, we'll see how the time. Yeah, I was going to say, we'll see how that goes out because both coaches are good at sending stuff. So.
Oh, so you're saying if you send stuff, we cover you.
Go figure.
No, we don't do that. We cover everyone, as everyone knows. It's just there's not enough of us to do so, but we do our best to obviously cover everyone. So we do appreciate when you do send us your stats and results at sports@lubbockonline.com, or you can call us at 806-766-8736. We always appreciate the coaching staffs that do that because obviously it's about the kids and we're trying to get them in the newspaper. But anything else that you wanted to mention before we kind of cut this one off? Because like I said, it's close to midnight. I'm sure you're tired. I have been tired because I've been up since about 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock El Paso time. So
I feel like my voice is starting to do that weird like frog thing where it's like
frog thing
shaking. You know what I mean?
Like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, it's like, or sandpaper. I don't know. But the last thing I guess I've mentioned is probably just Estacado. You know, they'll go to Dalhart this week. We'll see, you know, how they do against them.
That is actually an interesting matchup because Dalhart has been a little bit of a bugaboo for them at times where they kind of get off to that slow start. I know Cluley's been talking about the fact that his team's been getting off to fast starts, but you kind of have to put four quarters together. I believe he said they got close the last couple games, but he wants to see it in one full game. And I guess, obviously, once you get to there, I think at that point, then he has to kind of figure out some new goals, because at 7-0, there's nowhere to go but up, I guess, at that point.
I mean, yeah. I mean, even if they were to, knock on wood, lose every game, I mean, you still have a winning record at this point.
Correct.
So, and I'm pretty sure
you wouldn't have a district title.
True. Yes. And that's the goal. I mean, mm-hmm. I think last year, that's the thing. I think Estacado is just not short of motivation.
Correct.
You know, they have everything they want to fight for. They, you know, last year they didn't win the district title. Mm-hmm. Leveland did. So that's something. Then they have, you know, obviously playing for Coach Kelly after his passing. So that's something. And then they just feel like they have to prove people wrong. So
I feel like they got to go win a regional title after they felt like they were kind of close against to Glen it last Rose. Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. They're just, like I said, they're not short of motivation right now. And I think that's definitely paying off. I think Coach Cooley said the Wichita Falls one was a pretty complete one. And then this past week was about as close to complete as they've gotten. So, I mean, you have, you know, the two Dobbins brothers, you have a stacked defense. Hey, you know,
defense travels. Defense travels, and it certainly did when they played Hereford, which was, I thought, the biggest test for them, because they would have to match toughness. It's not necessarily an athletic thing; it's toughness, and sometimes you can't really look at, or even kind of see toughness in a practice. You just kind of have to see it. The other thing too is when they played Borger, they had to play in the cold. That's something you're gonna have to get used to when you get to these October, November games. Yeah. I thought they played very well. Obviously, they had the big plays. When you have a good running attack and a good defense, I think that kind of nullifies the fact that there's cold or the weather or anything like that. I think these guys are ready for anything, and it should be interesting to kind of watch them the rest of the way, along with the rest of our Lone Star Varsity coverage area teams. And you can obviously follow us on Twitter at Lone Star Varsity. You can follow Alexis at Alexis, AlexisCubit. I can still spell even though it's late. And then, of course, don't forget to check us out at the print edition of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal every day. And then starting on Thursday, of course, don't forget to check out all the stats package that we put out. And then, of course, all our picks for the week. And, of course, going into our Friday coverage, along with our photo galleries and everything else that comes in the Saturday edition as well. Once again, I'm Carlos Silva, the sports editor for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, joined by Alexis Cubit. We appreciate you listening this week. And don't forget to check out our second portion of the podcast, where we talk to a head coach from a winning team from last week. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. And welcome, everyone, to the second portion of the Lone Star Varsity podcast, where we talk to a coach from a winning side from the prior week. And this week, we've got Sudan head coach John Cornelius. Coach, appreciate you jumping on the old podcast. I guess, how are things going this week?
Oh, pretty good. Just normal prep and getting ready for a very quality team in Seagraves.
Absolutely. So,
but we appreciate you having us on.
Hey, no, man. If anything, my biggest question, and I know some people always kind of like to wonder, but I guess since we're recording this on Thursday, I guess what do y'all normally do on a Thursday? Is that just walk through, or I guess what do you guys kind of do to kind of prep for that Friday night football game?
Yeah, you know, Thursday's a shorter practice for us, yep. and you know, we typically just go helmet and shorts and t-shirt and kind of do a walkthrough and kind of try to go through all the phases of the game and fine tune any last minute things that we're concerned about and just try to get the whole game plan, you know, make sure the kids know what we're expected to do on Friday and just one final run through.
Well, I know for the fans that are just kind of looking at Sudan and they kind of look at the record, obviously 6-0, pretty good for your first year there. But I guess what have you felt really has kind of helped you kind of jump out to that quick start? I mean, I can obviously kind of point out some things, but I'm always curious to see what a coach kind of sees, because obviously you're around the guys a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it started last year. You know, they had they got a new coach last year, Coach Burdell. He only stayed a year, but kind of the winning started. Kind of jump started and went out 9-0, and then kind of didn't finish the way they quite the way they wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think anytime you can start, you know, developing that winning mentality, it's always easier the next year. And I think we've kind of piggybacked on some of that. Now what we have done is change the systems. We're running a completely different offense and a significantly different defense. So, but the kids have adapted to that well. They bought in, but you know, that winning culture was already established, and we're just trying to build off of that.
Speaking of that offense, it's been, I mean, you can just kind of look at all the numbers when you look at 46, 44, 40, 45, 54, 48 points scored. You guys on offense are averaging 46 points a game. I know everyone will look at Christian Montez as the guy, but who else has been kind of, key to helping you all just be so successful when you do get the ball?
Well, I think a big key for us is being able to be balanced. You know, we still pride ourselves on running the football, but, mm-hmm. but in the passing game, we've been able to spread it out between, you know, we've got four to five receivers with all pretty close to the same amount of receptions and yards. And so anytime you can spread the ball out and force defenses to cover the entire field, I think that lends itself to good offense. And Christian's been a good job, has done a good job of distributing the ball to those guys. And when they've had their opportunities, they've done a good job with it as well. And then our offensive line is playing outstanding, doing a very good job up front, creating seams and giving Christian time to throw the ball.
When he does have time to throw the ball, he obviously has Joe Lamone and, Beto Mendoza. Just when you kind of look at those two guys, what have they been able to do? They're your top two leading receivers that have allowed them to average about 20 yards a catch, which is kind of, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable when you think every time they catch a ball, it's basically a first down and a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I think that all starts with the run game. You know, People have had to try to load the box to stop the run. Christian leading the way with that, but we've also got some other backs all averaging around 4 to 5 yards a carry. And, you know, I think that's opened up some scenes. And the biggest thing for those guys is that when their number's being called, they've been really consistent about delivering. So, you know, anytime they get a ball thrown to them, there's been very few drop passes, and they've done a good job of getting open and exploiting those scenes and defense. And, you know, I just think, that, you know, they bought into what we ask them to do, and they come to work every week and try to improve.
Once again, you're listening to the Lone Star Varsity Podcast. I'm Carlos Silva, the sports editor for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. We're talking to Sudan head coach John Cornelius, who has the Hornets off to a 6-0 start in his first year. Coach, we talked a little bit about offense, defense. You mentioned how you guys changed things a little bit, obviously without giving away a lot. I guess what have you all changed, and how has Brett Wilson kind of been that guy that's really kind of led the way for you all?
Well, we went from a 3-4 front to a 3-3 stack,
mm-hmm.
and probably a little more aggressive blitzing wise, and then trying to change the back end coverage a little bit. And you know, we put Brett right there in the middle of that defense, and man, I tell you what, for a kid that just buys into everything you ask him to do, and he plays with an extremely high motor on every play. I mean, he's going full tilt, you know, from whistle to whistle, and just you know, his energy and his effort is probably what separates him from a lot of guys. And you know, Coach Sanders has done a great job with that unit. And each week they take pride in seeing how many three and outs they can get. And always the goal is a shutout, but they've done a great job on that side of the ball.
And just another senior, just like Brett, Parker Batten, obviously another guy. I guess, have you just kind of seen the kids just really kind of gravitate towards that defense? Because I know you kind of use the word that everyone likes to hear on defense, which is blitz a little bit more, maybe be more aggressive. Have you kind of seen the kids just kind of embrace that and just know that, hey, anytime we can kind of make a big play?
Oh, no doubt. You know, kids like to be aggressive. They don't want to sit back and read and react. They want to attack, and they like that attack mentality. And you know, we preach swarm and punish. We were trying to get as many guys to the ball as we can, and then to be you know, super aggressive when we get there. So, you know, the guys are real excited. You know, you couldn't ask for better chemistry for a first year coaching staff. Really, mm-hmm. We only had one guy held over from the last staff. So, you know, everybody's just bought into the family atmosphere, and things have really clicked better than anybody could have expected.
I know, obviously, every coach will find something to obviously critique, but 48-0, your first shutout against Bovina last week. What did you like from your guys in terms of the defense of kind of pitching their first shutout after being so close the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think, you know, it was probably the first game when we played four quarters. You know, we jumped out on everybody. Most of our points have been scored in the first half, and then mm-hmm. we kind of pulled off. And sometimes when you pull off, you know, your kids relax a little bit. But I think we did a lot better job staying focused throughout the game and continuing to do our job, even though we're up, you know, 30, 40 points. And sometimes that's difficult for kids to do, but I was really, really proud of the way they did that. And then we forced turnovers and just got off the field when we had opportunities to get off the field.
I guess what have you kind of seen from Seagraves that kind of feel like they're going to challenge you at?
Well, you know, they got a really, really outstanding running game. They got two really, really good running backs. Mm-hmm. You know, they run physical. They don't go down easy. You know, they're going to pound the ball between the tackles. And man, I tell you what, they're going to challenge your front. And, you know, defensively, those same guys that are doing that on offense, they play in the interior of their defense as well. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult task to run between the tackles. We're going to have to try to get them back out of there, maybe throw the ball on them a little bit. But, they present a very good challenge for us. You know, they took Farwell, who was a district favorite, right mm-hmm. to the wire last week. And I know they're playing a lot better and they're still young, so they're getting better every week. And we sure got our hands full with those guys.
So I guess for you, Coach, I know you kind of brought it up at the beginning of our conversation, but in terms of the guys obviously jumping out to that big undefeated start, I guess how do you kind of continue and make sure that these guys kind of validate each victory to make sure that they don't kind of teeter off like they did last season?
Well, you know, we just try to take it one game at a time, and I don't know how many times we brought up last season because, you know, that left a bitter taste in their mouth. So the hunger's there, and they know they hadn't won anything yet. They you know, won 9 games last year, but didn't get a trophy. And so they kind of been there, and I think that's our biggest asset is the fact that they've been there last year and know that you got to finish. And we preach finishing every week. And more importantly than that, we just try to take it one game at a time. You know, we're 1-0 right now in district play, but we're 0-0 this week. So we got to win this one.
Last question for you, Coach. I know I talk about Christian and some of the other guys that I've mentioned. Is there a kid that maybe doesn't get that much shine that you feel has kind of really been that either glue guy or just guy that's really kind of kept your guys kind of on task this year?
Well, I tell you what, we got our left tackle, Adrian Sital. You know, he don't say much. He just kind of blends in. And I tell you what, he comes to work every day. It's never about him, and he does everything the coaches ask him. And right now, if you had to ask me who our best offensive lineman was, it would be Adrian Sital. And I just think he does the mindset he brings every day, the work ethic and the intensity and just the willingness to be selfless. I couldn't say enough about that kid.
Once again, that's Sudan head coach John Cornelius. The Hornets are 6-0 going into a game against Seagraves, who's 2-4. It's at 7 p.m. in Sudan. Appreciate the time, Coach, and good luck to you the rest of the year, man.
All right. Thank you very much.
Awesome. You've been listening to another edition of the Lone Star Varsity Podcast. I'm Carlos Silva from the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. We'll talk to you next week.